We all love you.
Love that spirit.
Yeah, we love that spirit. All right, so I'm going to do a little something different. I'm going to read, we're going to do two chapters today. We're going to read chapter 15. I'm going to read chapter 15 to you, and then I'm going to have the professional read it to you, because it's all a bunch of Greek names and Hebrew names, and I don't pronounce them well, and somehow I managed to get through seminary just getting the first letter, you know, and so we'll be okay. All right, Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other and that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. Else will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself, this is Paul writing, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem and all the way to around to Lycaonia, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building upon someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me here to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journeys there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they even owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have not shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain, and on my way I will visit you there. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I will be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy, with God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. That was chapter 15. This is chapter 16, and I hope you'll be able to hear it okay.
I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me.
Verse 3.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. That work out all right? Not too bad. Yeah, I would have stumbled through a lot of that, and it would have taken twice as long to read it. So thank you for bearing with me on that. And did you know that, your cell phones do that? So you really don't have a real excuse for not soaping the passage of Scripture. You don't even have to read it. You can just listen to it. So we're finished up. We're finishing up Romans, and it's been quite a little bit of a journey through Romans. I hope we've learned some things along the way. Romans is one of the more popular books. It's filled with all kinds of passages that you can memorize. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Well, this particular passage, particularly in chapter 15, kind of it bears out the heart and it shows the heart of Paul as a missionary. He's deeply committed to spreading the gospel far and wide, especially to the Gentiles and to those places where no gospel presence is known. And Paul's commitment wasn't just one of a personal endeavor. It was a divine appointment, revolutionary for its time, to bring God to the non-Jews, to bring the Jewish God to the non-Jews, to the pagans, to the heathen, to the outsider, and invite them in, to talk to them and tell them about Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, to go outside of the Jews and to speak that and preach that and invite them in. He had a divine mission. Has God given you any divine instructions? Maybe a commandment to follow? How about love your neighbor as you love yourself? That's a pretty good commandment, pretty good one to try and follow. The passage is pretty clear that we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So here's your first one. God teaches. God teaches. So what do you think God is interested in? What do you think God's interested in? People. Always been interested in people. It's always been about people. Rich, poor, young, old, male, female, Jew, Gentile. Or is this God the God of the Jew only? He's interested in people, all nations, all tribes, all languages. God is active in reaching people. God is active in redeeming people and restoring people and rescuing people. And just imagine how significant or how deep this was for Paul. A Pharisee, a former Pharisee who was strict in his observance of the Jewish customs, strict in his observance of the Jewish laws, strict in his observance of the Jewish rituals, who himself was a violent persecutor of early Christians, basically a Christian terrorist. He had a reputation. He was admired and he was feared. And listen, in doing God's work. Do you think that God had to teach Paul some lessons? Do you think he had to teach him some things? Do you think Paul had to overcome some of his past? Do you think he had some things to repent over? Do you think he had things to confess? Do you think that he had to make some major attitude adjustments in his own heart and in his own mind? Do you think God did a good work in him? Do you think you have some things to overcome? Do you think you have a past to overcome? Do you think you got some things to confess, maybe repent over? Paul had to start thinking differently. He had to start acting differently, and he had to start talking differently. Paul was a transformed man from the inside out. God grabbed hold of him, and Paul desired nothing more than to serve this God that got a hold of him. He desired nothing more, wanted nothing less, but to honor God and serve God with the divine intervention and the divine calling that he had. Paul's mission was not about trying to put more people in the pews. His mission was about fulfilling the ancient promise God had made to Abraham, that all nations would be blessed, that all nations would come to know this God. And Paul was opening the floodgates that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all men, all tribes, all nations. Paul grabbed hold of his mission and his person and his purpose, the very reason Christ took hold of him. He knew the path ahead would be forged with difficulty, but he dared to walk it anyway. He knew the path ahead would be forged with all kinds of tragedies and trial, but he dared to walk it anyway. He knew it would not be easy to become the man that God had asked him to become, but he chose to walk that journey, to stay on that path. Do you think God got a hold of you for a reason? Are you transformed in your thinking, in your acting, in your speaking? In the midst of the difficulty, God is with you. In the midst of trial, God is with you. In the midst of your uncertainty, God is with you. And in the midst of your transformation, God is with you. I know that God is with me. I'm still in the morphinous and transforming. I'm still trying to grow up. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm still trying to get there. But God is with you along the path, every step of the way, every trial, every tribulation, every joy and rejoicing. Here's your next slide, by the way. Who will choose? Will you choose to live the life that God desires for you? Or will you choose to live the life you desire for you? If my will, which I have free will, is that God's will be accomplished in my life. That's giving over your life. Give over my free will to God. That his will be done on in my life. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ had. So that with one mind, one voice, that you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's your next one. God gives. God gives. Now, why on earth does God give you endurance? Why on earth would God give you encouragement, patience? Why would he give you strength? Why would he give you grace? Why does he give you mercy, hope even? I love this word, an attitude of mind. First of all, you cannot have the same attitude of mind that Christ had unless you have the Holy Spirit of God. We need God to do this. We need God to do this in us and through us. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot understand God and his ways without the Holy Spirit. You can teach the scriptures and not have the Holy Spirit. You can give money and not have the Holy Spirit. You can learn Hebrew and Latin and Greek and be able to say all the wonderful names in chapter 16 and not have the Holy Spirit of God. You can even preach to the masses and not have the Holy Spirit of God. But you will not have the mind or the attitude of Christ without the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot know and you will not know. You cannot know God's mission for you without the Holy Spirit of God. First, there's a claim to say, I believe in you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God does the work. God does the transformation. God gave us the Holy Spirit that we might have, listen to the word now, supernatural endurance. That we might have supernatural encouragement, supernatural discernment. We might have supernatural enlightenment. That we would live above the natural state of things. That we would see beyond the natural state of things. That we would be able to discern the natural state of things supernaturally. That we would have the eyes to be able to see as God sees all things unfolding. His plans unfolding. His purpose unfolding. He's given us that, that we might be able to see above that which is natural and see the supernatural. You would have a biblical viewpoint. A godly wisdom. Why? Why does he give us endurance? Why would he give us encouragement and patience? Well, scriptures are clear. Have you seen the failings of the weak? Have you seen the failings of the weak? Have you met your neighbors? Have you seen the chaos in the world? We're supposed to walk in this mess. We're supposed to walk in this mess with peace in our hearts. We're supposed to love on them and dog them and for their own good. We're supposed to pray for them and build them up to show them what goodness looks like. Oh, I'm going to need a lot of Holy Spirit encouragement. I'm going to need a lot of Holy Spirit endurance. I'm going to need some supernatural state of attitude and attitude of mind. God gives us all we need to succeed in accomplishing our mission, to live a life worthy of the calling that he's called you out to. And we can give it because God gave it to us. See, and you can't outgive God. You think that's about money. God poured out his grace upon you that you might walk in it, know it, taste it, experience it, and give it away. He showered you with so much patience. Has God been patient with you? Give me an amen. Oh, so patient with you. So patient with you. And all the things that you've been through, gone through, all the times you've cursed and run away, been angry, disappointed. So patient with you. So that you could feel it, you could taste it, you could understand it, and then you could give it away. You need. God has already given it to you. And you would be foolhardy to try and teach, lead, or inspire a group of people without the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts people. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings life to the lifeless, hope to the hopeless. It's the Holy Spirit of God that sanctifies, that leads, that guides, that teaches. It's the Holy Spirit that furnishes you with all the skills and all the wisdom he's imparted you upon himself that you might be able to be to the rest of the world. All of those things that he's given you, and you give glory to God. Thank God he's done it for you. Thank God you can do it for someone else. What a testimony you are. If you want to accomplish supernatural results in your life, you cannot start by speaking out of the flesh. The Spirit of God thrives and lives and bears fruit in our relationships, in our activities, in all of our endeavors. Do you know what your supernatural mission is? Do you know what your calling is? Do you know why God took hold of you? Do you know why he took hold of you, Danny? Do you know why he took hold of you, Brian? Do you know why he took hold of you, Beth? Do you know why he's urging you even this morning? Why do you think you're here? Why do you think he's challenging you on the things that you think? Where you go, what you do, how you speak to others inside the church and outside the church. Do you think all that is because God wants to control you? You think God wants to make you a robot? Or do you think that maybe God just wants to unleash you? Here's your next slide. I can promise you, God, he wants to unleash you, baby. He wants to unleash you. You are the Holy Spirit filled. You're the supernatural hero. You're not the superhero. You're the supernatural hero. And in fact, he's already unleashed you. Those that would profess their belief in Christ, he's filled you with the Holy Spirit of God, and he's unleashed you into the world. Filled you with himself and said, go. Go teach. Go tell. Go love. Go walk with them. Go heal. Go encourage, go pray, go thrive. Shine on, you crazy diamond. God is not restraining you. He's not limiting you. He's releasing you into the fulfillment of all the reasons why he created you. God is working out his plan in you and through you. You're an amazing soul on fire, burning bright for God. Now I would say this. I'll probably say it a couple times, actually. Proceed with caution. There's lots of pitfalls and lots of snares that I have already come. Paul thought he knew who he was until Jesus. Paul thought he knew the way. He thought he was righteous until Jesus. Paul thought he was all of that in a bag of chips until Jesus. If you think you know the way, but you don't know Jesus, you don't know the way. I thought I had all the answers until Jesus. I thought I had all the answers, and it turned out I was asking all the wrong questions. Jesus changed the narrative. Jesus changes the outlook. You know, the Jews thought they had all the answers too, until God unleashed something new. He created something new. The Jews thought they had an exclusive cornerstone and an exclusive connection. And then God did something amazing. God broke all the molds. He created something new. He resurrected something new. Behold, a living, risen Christ in a glorified state. Nothing like that in all creation before. The firstborn among many, so that you too may be just like that. Whew, somebody needs to say amen. That or I ain't preaching it right. God gives himself that we may have hope and endurance. Listen, through the toughest of challenges, through the toughest of challenges, I could promise you this. I know this. That's my testimony. It's probably everybody's testimony in here. The toughest challenges are going to come within yourself. Your own frailties, your own failures, and you learn. You learn patience with yourself. You learn forgiveness to yourself. You learn how to deal with the stubbornness of yourself. You learn how to deal with your own pride. And then, listen now, and you learn patience with a stubborn world. You learn how to deal with a chaotic world. Because I've been there. I've done that. I felt like that. I've been like you until Jesus. You learn because you had to deal with yourself. You learn to love your neighbor as yourself. That's why God gives you all of that. You think it's just for you, and it is for you. And you need all of it. You need all of it just for you. But it's not just about you. You get all of that, experience all of that you can go to the Gentiles like Paul, that do not know of this great God. And it's going to require everything that you just learned, your patience, your kindness, your self-control, everything you just learned about you that you can take into the world. And if that doesn't wrap up God's plan, that's his plan. That's always been his plan. God gives us himself that we may see others as he sees them. Listen, as he saw you. As he saw you, may you see them. To love them as he loved you. God accepts Accept one another then just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Here's your next one. God accepts. God accepts. See, God accepted you. God accepts. Did you realize that your acceptance of other people brings praise to God? That all that stuff that he works out in you and you give to others is praise to God. This is your act of worship. Your reasonable act of worship. To love others. I mean, really, to love the unlovable is praise to God. Because we watch Jesus do it over and over and over again. And oh, by the way, we watch Jesus do it with you. Teach us to reach out in forgiveness, even to the harshest of people, not to judge them, not to condemn them. It brings honor to God. To encourage them, to show them Christ, to point them to the cross, to invite them to church. You want to worship God? Love people. You want to please God? Serve people. You want to honor God? Help others. There's already too much hate in the world. You bring some stability. You bring peace. Listen, supernaturally. You've got something within you that is out of this world that oversees and overlooks all of that is natural and sees something supernatural. And you speak into it. And you see it and you recognize it and you walk in it. And you can bring it to those that have no understanding of it. God accepts. You're a superhero. You're the supernatural hero. Put on a cape if it helps you do that. And I'll say it again, watch out. Watch out for the snares and the trips and the traps, and don't get overextended yourself in misrepresenting the Lord. It's easy to get trapped in those snares. Listen, simply because people say, well, Jesus ate with all the sinners. Okay, so you're all the sinners and Jesus is hanging out with you? Okay, hallelujah. Yes, he did. Oh, he ate with all the rebels and the tax collectors. And yes, he absolutely did. But he hung out with them not to appear inclusive. He hung out with them not to appear tolerant. He hung out with them not to be compliant. He ate with them to call them to a change, to transformation, to live a life of spirituality, a life of spiritual fruitness, to have an eternal value, not the physical, flesh, temporary of this world value. He spoke about something bigger and stronger. He spoke to all those that did not know. He's hanging out with the sinners. Paul's going to the Gentiles. They don't even know this God. They never even heard of this God. I can't wait to show them, tell them, preach to them, teach to them, and show them how good God is. And that's you. You're a supernatural hero. Put on a cape again if it helps you. My mission statement has always been to encourage others to make an eternal impact. That's all I try to live and do. Encourage others to make an eternal impact. What eternal impact are you having? This is a fallen world, and it's slipping further and further away. Christ called people to transformation in their lives. He does not give affirmation of the lost earthly identity. Did he transform you? Is Christ working on you, transforming you? Anybody? Anybody at all? He's working on you and transforming you. He can do it for them too. He will do it for them too. But he does it. He does it. We all need to die to the self. We all need to die to our own flesh. We all need to die to the ways of this world. I don't need affirmation about my evil behaviors. I don't need affirmation about my worldliness and my lust and my greed. I don't need affirmation on that. I need to be with God. And oftentimes that's like moment by moment by moment. I'm watching this thing the other day. It's kind of a short on Facebook or whatever it was or something like that. And a guy comes out and he's got a big old briefcase. Just full, big old briefcase. Slap, you know, and he pulls out and he puts it up on the desk. And there's a girl standing there goes, "Oh, are those all the sins of my life that have been recorded?" And he opens it up. "No, that's just yesterday." We need God every day. Every day. And if Christ has ever helped you get through some addictions over drugs or get you over criminal activity or struggle with same-sex identity or got you through some despair and darkness, give him glory. And somebody else needs to hear about it, about how God has worked in your life, transformed your life. Declare the goodness of God. It is worship unto him. Declare the acceptance of God. It is praise unto him. God has accepted you. He will accept them too and begin a good work in them, just like he did you. Paul's a living example. I'm a living example. Anybody else got a testimony? They can say, God did some good things for me. God did some good things for me. You need to tell somebody about how good he is. Listen, he is so good even when you're not. He's watched over you even when you were reckless. You want to love like God, love them even when they're not lovable. Like you. You want to love like God? Love them when they're not everything you want them to be. They don't do the things you want them to do. They don't eat the way you want them to eat. They don't vote the way you want them to vote. They don't talk the way you want them to talk. You love them anyway. You point them to the cross. You cannot affirm their flesh. You cannot affirm their lust and their greed and their ways of the world. You point them to the cross. See, there's a better way. There's a better life. I'm trying to walk it. You want to walk it with me? I stumble, I fall, but I get back up. And I keep walking, and we walk together. It has always been my ambition, that Paul would write, to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building upon someone else's foundation. Those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. There's your next one. God builds. It's God who builds. Did you read your bulletins this morning? Grab your bulletins. Oftentimes there's a lot of good information in there, right? So they're celebrating a 70-year anniversary over at Belgrade Alliance Church this morning. So you know where Belgrade is, right? 45 minutes that way, right? Is it that long? Longer? It's been a while since I've been to Belgrade. Maybe it's only 45 minutes for me. It's straight. It's a straight shot. Emeritus David Frazier, who passed away, started that church so many years ago. And his widow Jeannie and daughter Lori are out there now celebrating, rejoicing at the good works of what God has done. See, David Frazier had that missionary heart to go. Much like Paul, that missionary ambition to preach where the gospel was not. You know, chaplaincy kind of does that for me. I'll get a phone call and say, "Hey, do you know, it's Arbor Day recently. We're going to plant a tree on Arbor Day. Would you come and read scripture and say a prayer?" You mean you want me to stand in front of a bunch of people that probably don't go to church, that are probably, what's the right word, environmentalists? You want me to come and say that and bring it? You want me maybe come in? It might be a hostile environment. You want me? Do you think I went? Or do you think I went? Oh, yeah, I represented, baby. I represent. You going to call me out? Want me to stand in front of some people and read some scripture and say a prayer? Oh, I'm your man. I'm your Huckleberry. Bring it. Bring it. See, that's bringing it out, right? That's going where the unreached, that's going to where they are. Christian Missionary Alliance has a long, strong desire to go to those unreached people places, unreached people groups around the world and speak the name of Jesus. You know, if you've been hanging around here long enough or around the Alliance, you know, sometimes we even call them creative access countries. We can't even tell you where they are because if they were found out to have been there, they would be decapitated, murdered, or at the very least sent back, kicked out. But see, the true reality of our day is you don't even need to go to a foreign land. All you need to do is speak at an Arbor Day celebration where they're planting a tree. You need to just go across the street, just walk around the neighborhood, and you'll find those that do not know or care or find Christ relevant or the church relevant. You don't have to go far away. This is your mission field. This is your mission field. You're already here. And I do know this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I that build the church, it's the Lord. And the Lord will inspire you, he will to reach out, he'll inspire you to give, he'll inspire you to pray, he'll inspire you to speak up, and you'll find yourself in opportunities that seem weird, that seem awkward. And that's because you're precisely the person, Glenn. You can be precisely the person, Melinda. You can be precisely the person, Eric, Daniel. You can be precisely the person, Jeff, that needs to be in that circumstance, in that situation. To be the voice to those that are unreached. And God had a plan all along, and it involved you. Imagine that. It's God who builds the church. Less of ourselves and more of the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll have to be cautious about how you define a building. Because Paul's talking about building, but he's not talking about sticks and mortars, is he? He's not talking about that. He's not talking about, I don't want to build where others are building. Are they building a church? Is that what they're building? Are they building a fellowship? What are they building? How do you define that? He's not building a building. He's making disciples. He's maturing those believers and he's multiplying ministries. That's all he does. That's all we do. Over and over and over again. We make disciples. We mature up those believers. And we multiply the ministries. Somebody becomes a disciple. They start following God. And they realize, wow, this is God. It's so amazing. He's done so many great things to me. And then you begin to mature and you begin to understand and you begin to get sanctified and it begins to chip away at the stone of your thinking and your acting and your talking and you want to live a biblical life. You don't want to live a worldly life. And then you start to realize it was never really just about me because look at the people I can speak to about how great this God is and all the things that he's done for me. You just make disciples. You mature those believers and you multiply the ministry. Over and over and over and over again. It's boring around here in church. It really is. The only thing that keeps it interesting are your personalities. And there's a lot of them, right? There's a lot of them. We're raising up shepherds. We're raising up evangelists. Raising up musicians and praise team. Just keep raising them up, right? Let God have his way. That's all he did. That's pretty much all we do. Over and over and over again. And all of chapter 16 is, hey, greet this one, greet that one, greet this one, greet this one, right? Greet that one, she was wonderful to me. Greet that one and the church that's in their home. Greet that. He's not talking about a building. A building may result, but he's not talking about a building. He's talking about building in the hearts of people, building into the character, shaping the soul, the individuals. It's not about a building. If the kingdom of God is within you, where do you need to start building? You need to start building your own kingdom right in your own heart. Right in your own heart. Because it's the gospel that changes hearts as it changed yours. Listen, it's not the government that does it. It's not even your opinion that does it. It's not the pastor that does it. It's you and your connection to Christ. That's all it is. You, the Holy Spirit of God working on you, that you be a better you for a world that needs a better you. God desires this in you. And it's the gospel and Jesus only. The Holy Spirit brings a good work in you, ripping up and tearing up all those stony places, constructing and reconstructing and rebuilding. And he's building something amazing in you, something amazing about your life that has that supernatural hero status. And listen, you can tell when people do not have the gospel presence in their lives. You can tell when they're building in their own hearts lust, when they're building in their own hearts greed, when all their focus is about money, when all their focus is about themselves. You realize they're not maturing much in Christ, if they're in Christ at all. And you have a spirit of discernment to be able to know. He's given you that for you to know and for you to understand about how you might best reach a Gentile, reach someone who doesn't know, speak to all those environmentalists around Harbor Day. He does that in you. And I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put up obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings of the things that you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. With smooth talk and flattery, they deceive minds of naive people. And it started with those that are strong ought to bear in the failings of all the others. You're looking at the failings of all the others. They're not following Christ. They're not interested in following Christ. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you're there for a reason. Not to be influenced by them, but to influence them. What does it look like to build in your life? See, sometimes it's the simplest of things. Is praying with my wife building the church? Is it advancing the gospel? Absolutely. Does my patience in a very chaotic and awkward situation and circumstance reflect the gospel presence in my life? Oh, absolutely it does. Does my kindness in the midst of other people's domestic arguments bring a calm? Does that represent bringing Christ into my community, bringing Christ into my neighborhood, bringing Christ into my family? And all of those, it could be so obnoxious with so many different personalities. And there you are, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, wanting to represent Christ. Less of the flesh, more of the Spirit. And you'll see, you begin to see the power of God. The power of God. It has little to do with you and your flesh. I have walked into domestic violence situations, screaming at each other, kids crying in the corner, cops everywhere, lights flashing, media sticking microphones in your face. I can walk in, it's God. I know it ain't me. My heart's racing, I got sweat beating down my, and I will walk into this house. Calm. You think that was me? You have this power, supernatural hero. You have this power, supernatural hero. You have to become connected with the Holy Spirit of God and how he works in you so that he can work through you. And I'm telling you, it's everything that you're tasting that you get from God, you can give it away. I know what it is to be calm in the midst of tragedy and dynamic, difficult situations and circumstances because the Holy Spirit of God is strong. I'm not reacting to my physiology. Not reacting to my anger and the way I think things ought to be done, and you should just, whoa, watch God do something amazing. Because his grace is indeed amazing. And that advances the gospel. Your generosity advances the gospel. Why would God give you endurance? Because you're dealing with the failings of the weak in this world. You're going to need supernatural endurance. And we need to walk in the Holy Spirit of God, or you'll find yourself living in the flesh, very frustrated. And I don't want that for you. And we preach every day to those that are around us the good news of Christ. Sometimes we even use words. But just watch what God can do in you and through you. Remember who you are in Christ and let your light shine. I've been watching that thing just build and build and build. That's pretty awesome. God builds. All right, I'm going to invite the praise team back up. We're going to sing a last song as well. But say a little prayer, collect a little offering, and then we'll sing a song. Sound like a plan? You can do that. Father in heaven, I just want to come before you. Thank you, Father, for getting us through the book of Romans. It's a sense of accomplishment in that, Father. We've been rocking and rolling, Father, in Romans and then right through Easter and Palm Sunday. Thank you so very much for the way in which you minister into our lives, taught us. Father, continue to challenge us and change us. And Father, oftentimes messages can be difficult to the congregation, but I would pray that you would continue to chip away at those stones and those hard places, Father. Give us full confidence and awareness of where we are strong, but Father, give us a confidence and awareness of where we are weak. And Father, continue to work in us. Continue to give us the strength that we might be good witnesses. And Father, through it all, that our lives would bring you honor and bring you glory and bring you praise. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen.
All right, don't worry, I'm not up here to sing. I guess the gentlemen could prepare themselves for this morning's offering. Thank you, Pastor, for taking us through.